This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
You're listening to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us tonight. PK, welcome back.
Welcome back, guys. It's good to be back here again for season 2019. So looking forward to it. Hopefully you guys didn't miss me too much.
It's good to have you back on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia and around the world.
So, mate, you've ticked off a few of your bucket list, I see. You're working with Jules and I, which is a big tick. You went to watch the mighty Liverpool Reds
sure
play. Was that at Anfield?
It was. It was the I couldn't pick the better game. They thumped Arsenal 5-1.
So. I see you holding a scarf saying you'll never walk alone, but you seem pretty lonely when you're standing there.
I basically snuck in and said, I didn't actually watch the game. I said, guys, just let me take a picture. And they said, all right, mate, yeah. No, it was a great experience.
Good result that day too when you were watching.
Yeah, it was.
How are you, Julesy? We had a nice game last week. We were good mates. We didn't, I suppose, putting dirt on each other.
There was a lot of positive feedback that came there, so maybe the rookie's got a bit to live up to still.
Hey, rookie, did you watch the show at all, listen to the show?
I did. I actually tuned in from Heathrow Airport. New Year, same Geo, Brisbane Roar. Melbourne Victory, Jamie Young. Mate, did you watch any other games over the holiday festive season or just watch Melbourne Victory and Jamie Young?
Look, mate, I'm glad that you've come to a gunfight with a pocket knife, but look, mate, to be honest...
Never jump off a good thing.
We've been saying always behind your back that we think that you've got a secret sponsorship deal with West Sydney because you seem to mention about 50 times every show. So if anyone's going to start talking about repeats, it should be you, mate.
Well, there's nothing to talk about these days.
Yeah, let's be fair. He's not holding up a banner at the moment.
I can't remember the last time I won a game. Wanderers. I went on holidays, went and won a game. I come back, we still won a game.
Mate, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to negotiate for you next time. I'd be saying to them, every time they stuff up in a game, I want at least $10. You'll be a millionaire by the end of the season.
He'll be back at Heathrow. He'll be back watching Liverpool lift the trophy.
So look, just before we get stuck into our top five, two other quick things. Julesy, this is match day 13. What are you naming the round?
This round was a little bit harder. It wasn't too exciting. There was a couple of games that came back, so I was calling it the comeback round.
Okay.
Most of the sides came back from a couple down and sides showed.
And our rookie come back too. So.
And he did come back, so look at that. I've pulled it out of the bag. Yeah, the comeback round, it was a good one. There was a couple of good results.
Run with that. Are we happy with that,
yeah,
PK?
Yeah, happy with that.
Oh, I'm glad he approves.
Yeah. Well, mate, I think last week I knew you had to be on your game because you were taking me on, but this week because you're only reffing, I got cannon fodder.
That's it.
You switch
up.
Off again.
That's me. Done. Yeah,
just half throttle, dude.
That's right. That's it.
Last thing before we get into the top five, I want to apologise to
Fondaroli. We are the kiss of death.
Every single time we have a segment or we talk about someone or we pat them on the back or we name something after them, no high five gone, bow gone. Brandan time. Who else have we mentioned in the past that is no longer with us?
Well, I mean, Fornaroli's our latest on the dish, isn't
he? Yeah, so look, if I'd known that we were by pumping his tyres up and doing our little song that he would be on the outer now and probably never play again in the A-League, I never would have mentioned him.
Oh, I don't know. I think we need to start talking about the FFA board then.
Hey, man, I think we can both just, all three of us can just write down a player's name here now.
And just put the kiss of death.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Pass
just
it around. Rocker, yeah,
let's just pass the hat around and just make sure.
Well, we named the Barisha Award and off he goes to, where is he, in Japan?
Japan, yeah.
Yeah, is there anyone else? I'm just trying to think.
There's a couple of defenders.
I don't know, there's a few players out there begging that we won't name something after him now.
Yeah, so mate, Mr. Fornaroli, we apologise, mate. We'd love to see you back on the pitch and I think we might touch on this possibly in the VAR later on about...
Well, hopefully someone will make a transfer.
Well, there's no transfer fee, right? So of course you don't want to sell him off to another club because you're going to make nothing out of it.
And he'll probably come and score four goals against you.
Yeah, but I think, like anybody...
You know, we just want to see him play.
Yeah, whatever team you support in any league in the world, you want the best players in there. So... Let's get stuck into this.
Let's get stuck into our top five for the week. And I know it was a little bit of hard watching because our goal of the round, whilst there was a lot of goals scored, geez, there was a few deflections and a few tap-ins. So I'd almost call it the Ian Rush Award this week because nothing seemed to get scored from either penalty spot or six-yard box.
Are we back to, because it's 2019 and last week you and I had our friendly.
So we're going to start at nil-nil.
Are we going to reset the clock for the little fella here?
It probably works good for me.
Well, PK's the only one that wants to reset it because it puts him on on an even par.
Yeah, well, look, to be honest, the last thing you want to do when you're in a race is look behind and see like clean air or tumbleweeds, right?
the tortoise.
So I need a bit of pressure on me. So look, I'm happy
right,
to go back
I'm
to nil.
I'm willing to make it nil all. Yeah, not a problem. Let me go to the judges. Oh, that's me. Nil all.
new year, new scoreline. I'm happy with that.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, golden goal. We'll still call it the Barista Award, and the clay statue is still sitting on our shelf, waiting to go to the worthy recipient. Given that PK's come back and you've already had a practice round last week with me and had a bit of a touch-up, I think I won that according to the fan poll. It's amazing. I looked at the poll, I counted them, and I only came out a winner. But
hey, this seems like when we played foot golf.
It was absolute drubbing. I thought you must have worn two left boots and kicked it with your hand. Anyway, PK, who have you got for your goal of the round?
I went with CM Deong, Sydney FC. Great free kick. I think the goal explained itself.
Mate, the goal explains itself, but you've been travelling. Did you think that was a Chinese dish? I know you've been eating rubbish while you're away.
Is that why? I almost got confused.
He's in the beer and food
beer,
mind,
mate,
at the moment.
The pints.
Yeah, so he's in that at the moment. So as soon as he saw the dish that looked like something like the Dim Sims, he said, I'll just go with that guy.
I'll go with that.
That's a player, mate. He plays for Sydney FC.
Yeah, it was a good goal. Mate,
it was a cracking free kick, wasn't it?
I love when he says that explains itself. It means he's been away and he hasn't researched.
It means he just saw the highlights.
Yeah, it does.
All right, so the highlight, not a bad goal, though. It's a good one to post up first up.
Yeah, look, I don't like it when I'm tag teamed by the two boys, so I keep copying it about oh.
Victory.
I keep talking about the victory because they're so damn good, but as much as I like the victory's goals this week, I saw Troisi's was a little bit reminiscent of Sergio Aguero's against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, PK.
Do you reckon he was sending out a message to Arnie saying, why don't you pick me with that goal?
Possibly.
Well, mate, he's been playing pretty good form lately, but... made his choice.
And even the ball under the jersey to obviously his pregnant partner was a bit of class as well. But look, I've gone
with... I thought it was just a Christmas belly that we've been eating too much.
Yeah, I know. That's what it could have been. I've gone with Richie Delatt for his winner versus the Raw in the second half, simply because of the fact that he is a defender who maybe in his junior career, they said maybe when he was under sixes or something, he might have stood up the front of the goals. But he's a defender. He got the winner for them. And at the moment, City need everything they can to stay on a bit of a roll and kind of keep the fans away from Joyce, because not playing Fornaroli, if you're not scoring, you're not getting results, then they're all going to be holding up signs saying bye-bye Joyce, which I think should have already happened. So for me, defender turn attacker finds the winner. And luckless Raw continued to just trickle along.
Yeah, he was probably helped by a bit of comical defending. It's never good to see a defender ending lying on his back while the other ball gets slotted by a defender. But it's hard to go past the quality of that free kick, so I'm just going to pass it straight over. 1-0 to the rookie on his way back.
Why don't you stick with Teresa's goal? Teresa's goal is 10 times better.
Because I keep listening to you two clowns every single week telling me about...
Mate, I'm not talking telling about anything. I'm an impartial referee. So
anyway,
we move on to the second of our day. It's our Goose of the Week. I think there is a couple of challenges for the Goose of the Week. We did name it the Muskie Award, but Muskie's just been flying and laughing and dancing. So we might have to find a new goose at the moment. It could be an award looking for a brand new name. Maybe it might be Joyce not playing Fornaroli and sticking a defender up front.
It might
be me. That says a lot to the rest of your strikers.
It could be me.
So who have you got for Goose of the Week, Gio? You can go first.
Look, I've turned a new leaf. I don't know if PK heard because he said he listened to the show, but we're not sure. So in 2019, I'm going to try my damn best to be a bit kinder to the commentators. So even though I really enjoyed Jubilee Jubilation, and what's Eka Second? I don't know what that was.
But, Eka Second?
Yeah, Eka Second. So,
the equaliser 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
Yep, the Eka Second.
It was. So look, I'm going to stay away from the endangered species. And my one this week is a little bit out there, and it's going to be the Caltex commercial that you see 450 billion times on the A-League highlights show. Now, let's be honest, between the three of us...
Let's see how hard the Caltex fuel app is.
I think pretty sure the three of us could come up with something better. And then with that fabulous voice of John Laws, whatever your name is, we could potentially get something better than watching these two peckerheads sit there cutting wood in half or whatever they say. That doesn't make me want to go out, get fuel. It doesn't make me want to wait to watch the A-League highlights again.
You kind of... I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to say how easy it is, but you're missing a trick given that the Caltex Socceroos playing in the Asia Cup at the moment. So
it's nothing about the brand.
Let's keep looking at some...
I like Caltex. Mate, I can't drive around without petrol. So without petrol, I'm not getting very far. And I'm on the bus or the train.
I don't really care about the dude chopping wood. Okay, so the Caltex commercial has been a good one to put up there.
Well,
and
hang on, just
before... It's got you talking.
Just before we move on, though. So if you were the exec...
I don't think we're moving on.
If you were the exec there at the advertising company and I walked into you and said, this is the idea we had for a commercial, are you pressing the button saying, let's go with that big woodpecker, wood chopper, wherever
it is? If it's you walking in?
Yeah.
Well, there's two decisions we got to make then. A, who let you in the building? But B, where did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, and A, you lost.
Ciao, thanks. Bye, bye. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
All right, I'll step in here because you've been talking too much. I went for my Goose of the Week. I named it the Geese of the Week, went plural. The Central Coast Mariners defenders, and I'm referring to Rolls and Melling for their stupid penalties that they've given away. So the first one, you got a 2-0 lead at halftime. Rolls has come steamrolling in the back of, I think it was Krishna.
You haven't given your keeper any chance to make the save. No, you've just rolled into the moment.
No chance. So you've steamrolled Krishna, got yourself a red card in the process. 2-1, no problem. And then you've got Melling, who's absolutely taken down, I think it might have been Krishna again, for the second goal, and he's trying to plead his innocence. So, you know,
right across him.
My perspective, you've done so good in the first half, and then you've got the absolute geese of the week, Mariners defenders, just being so ill-disciplined. And that's why you haven't won a game yet.
Well, I think, defenders all around this round were pretty, they must have had some money on the old penalties because the referees didn't have too much of a hard time choosing them as it went. But for Gio's passion, I'm going with the Caltex commercial because, yes, it does frustrate me every time I want to catch up on a bit of a round as well. So we'll bring you back to a 1-1 result there. But mate, please don't talk about the ad anymore.
No,
it's done.
It just saved me, though, having to go in to bat for myself because, first of all, this guy says we talk too much. That's because last week we had to fill in 30 minutes that normally he'd be talking, right? And the second thing about this kid over here is he's so
excited. It speaks for itself.
Oh, when he says geese and everything, oh, I thought I was listening to David Attenborough's assistant. Oh, they played in the back of him, Melling. It was like I was starting to drift off. I was like, hang on, Jules, kick me under the table, bro.
I'll give you another glass of wine, mate.
No, that's all right. We go into, and it's a shame that we're not on live video at the moment because we go into the best fan reaction or coach reaction or player reaction, and we just had yours when you were winning your Caltex commercial. But what reactions did you see from around the grounds this week? And I'm going to give it to PK to throw out this time.
I loved Marcus Babbel's press conference. I will touch on it further on the show, when you know he's in there, his team has basically blown a lead where they should have won the game or got something from
it. How many leads did they blow in that game?
Too many. Anyway, I'll answer the question first. And he's asked about the standard of refereeing and asked whether or not he's going to address the refereeing to to basically the head of the referees of the A-League. And he said, look, if they can't see it, they're effing blind. So I just thought that was great. He probably copped a $10,000 fine.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to know that cost him.
But no, I thought it was great. I mean, he's just very direct and straight to the point.
So to be fair, that's a frustrated man.
Was that fairy blind? was he fairy blind? Like, you know, like a fairy. Is that
what you said? Yeah? I don't know where you're going with, but sure. Why not?
Yeah, it was... You know what, he probably had the voice of many there when he was speaking at the press conference, quite honest, but things are imploding at the Wanderers at the moment. They're not finding results and they're finding different ways to lose games. I think the first thing to address is it seems to be illegal for a Wanderers defender to mark someone in the box, so they want to figure that one out first.
I'm with you. If I was him, I would have been going in ready with my comedy act, stand-up show, because you can throw all the eggs you like, but when your team's getting beaten every week and throwing away wins, you know, like your goalkeeper comes running out the box like he's, you know, he's got amnesia. Mate, please stop pointing the finger at somebody else.
Yeah,
they're going no worse than your blokes.
It might not have been the greatest decision for a penalty or whatever there, but let's be fair, you let in three other goals and there was some very poor defending that was involved with that. So you're not doing yourself any favours to throw that out there. Who did you bring up for your best reaction there, G?
Mate, I've been blacklisted from talking about the mighty victory, but I'm still able to talk about...
But you still dropped the victory within the first three words.
Yeah, but I'm still able to talk about PK's appalling Wanderers. So for me, I've gone for Kwame Yeboa, their new signing, which, look, he seems like he's...
He had a cracking game.
Yeah, but he set up three goals. He looks like, or he's had a hand in all three goals, and he looks like he's a talent. But I just love the way that it looked like he got the pie in the face. And then he's looking around to see who threw eggs at him. And then all of a sudden he realised, hang on a sec, this has crossed the line. Looked around, saw some people dressed in black and red dancing and thought, I'd never seen that before. So he ran over to investigate and find out what was happening. And he was super excited.
The celebratory deflection.
Yeah. So like I said, I didn't realise you could get that excited for getting whacked in the face because you guys do it to me all the time and I've never been that excited. So
look, it did put him up 1-0, which is that uncharted territory for him?
Recently it has been.
But that doesn't mean anything though, because I was saying the other day, Mariners, that's the fifth or sixth time they've led a game. So what?
Yeah, how about you win one?
I used to do that all the time in the City of Surf. You sprint down the straight towards the coach side and then fall over in the bushes dead. Just to get on TV.
13 and a half case to go.
Best ever the first 500 of the City of Surf and then the other 13.5.
I did find myself trying to watch that that highlight reel again, or the review of the replay of that goal, which meant I saw that damn Caltex commercial over and over again. But I was trying to see, did he really mean it, or did it just strike him in the ear? And yeah, his reaction was a little over the top for a deflection. But imagine if he scores a cracker. I don't think they'll catch him. He'll run around and around. Geez, hard one to give. I did like Babel's press conference, but celebrating the deflection, hard to let that one go. I'm giving your best reaction to the deflection.
I'm giving second best reaction to my little heart symbol I'm showing over to the ref. Just that little heart symbol I'm showing over there saying, thank you, ref. I appreciate your generosity.
Brings it up number four in our top five, and a really important one, because PK's also got to try and do this. Best save of the round.
All right.
Geo.
Coming to me.
Well, I actually, hang on. Best save of the round. Which save from Jamie Young have you chosen to enter into this?
There was two good ones.
You know what? I'm just very disappointed that by this stage, Thomas or Jamie haven't sent me a message on Insta saying,
"Same, thanks for
we
all
love
the push.
You. We're coming on the
we're
show.
We're coming on the show.
Seriously, I talk about you every single week. I reckon their wives talk about them less. Seriously, I talk about these guys every week, and they do deserve it. But this week, sticking with my theme of staying away from the Navy Blues, I've gone for Philippe Courtois' save from Matt Simon's header. Now, at the time, it was 1-0. The Mariners then went into uncharted territory, made it 2-0. So potentially it could have been 3-0, and there's no way back from the Phoenix at 3-0 down. I think
he saved. He might have saved that one when it was only 1-0.
Yeah, but it was. But still,
it would have gone up. Yeah, like I said,
it was a good save.
It was a cracking save because he's had to trace it across. Yeah,
and like I said, he got down really, really smart. It was a great reflex save. I'm not saying it's the world's best
Matt
save I've seen.
But that's Matt Simon's strength as well, is to just jump up at the back post so he can give a little okey-dokey sign if he goes in. But it was a good header. But what a save. Yeah, his reaction was brilliant.
Yeah, so for me, like I said, it's just that this guy's been in good form recently. I don't know if you guys have seen on social media either. He's where he's been doing those dives after the balls have gone wide. I couldn't put that in our awards. But I love that he did that. So there was some way of me finding him to be able to push him in and give him an award this week, and I'd love him to get the Bozza. So that's mine for the week.
Mate, good one for him to be up there for the Bozza.
I'll just jump in here, I guess.
Well, you've got to put something up.
Have you ever seen tennis? Someone serves, someone hits a bat.
Oh, it depends. Philip Pussis is serving, mate, no one returns anything.
Are you Philip Pussis?
Didn't mind the old pop.
The poo.
Anyway, so I went with the birthday boy, Andrew Redmayne. And I'm referring to his 94th minute save in the Adelaide game. Great cross. He could have easily, you know, let that go under, but he's just pulled off an awesome save. Gets back up again and actually gets the ball off the striker and wins the game for the boys. What even made it more interesting was after the game, I don't know if you guys saw Jonathan Tratt's interview. He said, thank F for Redmayne. So, you know.
Who have you been hanging out with in London?
Did you sign up for the censorship brigade? Yeah, everything you just throw out there.
Didn't you guys see it?
No, but have you, over in London, who are you staying with?
Who was I staying with?
Mate, you've been dropping the F-bombs here, left, right and centre.
Well, I did.
It's like he's a censorship police. He's found him everywhere.
If he can't beat Geo properly, I'm going to start going in there trying to be a tough guy and carry on.
To be fair, he has picked the save of the round quite clearly. That not only won 3 points, and not only was he the goalkeeper to save it, point blank, he then gets up and does the defender's job.
That's right.
Shuts it down and then just casually picks up the ball.
I was very disappointed too, because when you said the birthday boy, it was my birthday last week, so I was thinking, yes, my mate finally remembers.
I did
and
text
then he talks
you,
about Redmayne.
Oh, well, great. I did text
That's
you.
That's great,
that.
Mate. That's awesome. Really happy.
So he's a bit upset now that it's gone to 2-2.
Watch the interview, though. Watch Tratt's interview. He drops an F-bomb on live on TV. So.
Well, to be fair, I don't reckon he was the only one that said thank goodness for Redmayne that day, because big result for Sydney FC to get those 3 points. So that save not only got Sydney FC 3 points, it got you back in the game and brings us into a tie round of the good, the bad and the ugly. I'm going to leave it up to you. Who wants to throw down first?
Oh, look, I'll let him go first, but if you describe his performance so far.
Oh, it's already on.
If you describe his performance today, probably best summed up by Daniel McBreen.
I heard about that one, actually.
There you go. You can do another one of your little
beats. Let me be fair. A man of many many words against a man of very few. All you're going to have to put up a good post here.
All right. So, good, bad, ugly. Wanderers, Perth game. Good.
Hang on, Wanderers. Oh, okay, sorry. Who are they?
Oh, sorry. Victory, was that?
They're the practice game.
The Paul Collius Wanderers.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I love it. Well,
that could be. If I lose now, it will be the Paul Collius Wanderers. Yeah. Wanderers. Okay, so I go with the good. Young Wanderers, very impressive performance. And I'm referring to that six players under 21.
They were brilliant in the first half.
I think
they were good value for their 1-0
up. I think four of them actually made their debut. It might have been, including the keeper, the right back, centre back. So I thought for their first half and to go up to a 3-1 lead...
Against
a Central Coast Mariners. They're playing the tabletop in Perth Glory
and in Perth
away in Perth.
So, yeah, it's a big effort. So I'll give you a good.
The bad, I thought, was the horrible penalty decision for the fourth goal. Very, very soft. People might disagree with me, but I thought it was a terrible decision.
It's a free kick anywhere else on the pitch, so you can't complain about it in the box.
It was a nice cuddle, free hug.
Yeah, he could have called it a touch earlier.
He should have. That's what he should have done.
He called it a touch up.
And the
in the end, you've agreed that it was a penalty, so yep, there goes there goes your four.
No, you're just putting the words on my mouth. And the ugly was...
You're just taking the pee out of him, all right? This guy, he's just learned his outline.
He's just become K. I'm taking the pee out of him, so it's just K.
Can someone hook this guy? Unplug his mic. And the ugly, unfortunately, was throwing away a 3-1 lead, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's a coach killer. You're up 3-1 away from home. You think shop closed, we've got the points.
You know what the killer
is? With 30 minutes to go.
You know what the killer is? Watching that game and seeing it just drag along in the second half and thinking, I'm going to go grab a drink and missing four or five goals.
Am I mistaken, Jules, that you watched the first 50 minutes of the game on Sunday night?
I easily watched the first 50. I wanted to belt my head with a hammer.
Where'd you go to get a drink? Alice Springs?
It was only 16 minutes for six goals. There had to be something else on.
Anyway, so,
okay.
That's my good brother.
I mean, wonder. It's good. Bad.
Can I just ask one quick thing first?
Of course you will.
Well, I'm just going to ask and say it anyway. I wish this guy here was my coach when I was growing up, because I can just imagine one of those guys saying to me after we've lost 4-3 and blown a 3-1 lead in 16 minutes, oh, great performance, well played. You're a nice guy, mate. I'm sick of giving you a hard time.
Just hurry up and put up
your good bad. You're missing the context, mate. That's around 21 players.
Phoenix transformation. From where they were last year to where they are now, even at the start of this year.
We were calling them a bye round last year, so yeah, it was a free 3 points, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they were. So at the moment, the Phoenix...
So is that the Rudolution, as they were calling it?
Could be the Rudolution, but it could be...
yeah, but they've been winning the last 4 weeks, mate, so why are you picking it up now for?
Because it's a transformation complete. Look at his even sludgy now.
I'll tell you what, because they have been at the top of the table up the right end of the table for a few weeks now, but that was a totally different win for them. You know, like I said, they've normally been pretty solid. Yeah, but they don't give away cheap goals like that. So to come back and show a bit of courage, sometimes you can be flying up the top when you're a good front runner, but you can't come from behind. So I think that just goes to show that they're a totally different team, not only physically but mentally under Rudin. The bad was the three penalties. So three penalties in a game goes to show usually that it's just amateur defending. And the ugly was the defending for those three penalties, jumping on people's back, grabbing them from behind, stepping on their heel.
Two answers in one there?
Yeah, it's two in one, but usually, mate, it's good value. Two in one means two pizzas for one means you get a cheaper feed, right?
So is that two for Tuesday?
Anything is cheaper. So, look, I just thought that, like I said, that was just really poor to watch. So, yeah, that's me over and out. And if I go one behind for 2019, I'm sure I'll be back, considering I won last year 4-2.
So you're actually giving it up. That sounded like you were giving it in and handing it over.
I'm not giving it up, but when you see a lost puppy on the side of the road, you always want to give it a home.
You know what? I can't even say anything from that. That's just brilliant. You know what? It's because they haven't experienced a win for so long that I'm going to give the win to Wanderers, because they were good, bad and very ugly over in Perth. So PK can go to an early lead at 1-0, but, you know, yeah, it's a long way coming.
Look, I was going to vote for him to win too. A couple of quick reasons. One is I'd love to have him back on the show. Two, because he is a good kid. And three,
it's nice to chase.
Yeah, and the third one is that the kid tried his best today. He thought that leading 3-1 and losing 4-3 was a great effort, so he was happy with that. So give him something. Give him something to cheer about. He even had a player who got smacked in the face with a ball and ran around celebrating. So, look, everything at the moment just seems a little bit out of his reach, but give him something so he can hang in.
There's our top five. PK's gone out to an early lead. We're just going to take a quick break and a drink and let PK have a celebration. Maybe he can run around, point at the crowd.
Pop the champagne.
And we'll be back shortly after these messages.
Welcome to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
Welcome back to the Football Revolution. Our next guest joining us in the Players' Lounge is a good friend of the show, former Young Socceroos and Brisbane Strikers defender. Please welcome to the couch the maestro, Wayne Heath. Welcome to the show, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mate, when you're a friend of the show, we have to add in the maestro bit just to make sure we keep you in the good books, mate.
Yeah, that's good. I'll keep that nickname, mate.
Mate, just before we get stuck into our 9 at 9, which is a few questions just to get to know you a bit better and let the listeners get to know a bit more about you, just to set the scene. So I was lucky enough a few years back to coach this man, and I know firsthand he's all class. So what we'll do is we'll skip the nickname, because I've called him Wayno about a million times at training and in the game, so we can pass that question, and we'll roll straight into, mate, if it suits you. What A-League team do you support?
Look, I can't say I support an A-League team. I only really just started to watch it.
I'll rephrase it for you then, mate. Which team do you think you would best suit?
Probably have to say Perth Glory.
Okay. Well, you're just taking that because they're on the top, aren't you?
Top of the table.
Yeah, that's right. I want to win.
I like you. Yeah, beautiful.
I was just saying you're all class, and now we're just seeing you're a gold digger.
Yeah, well, that's like
an easy way out.
Trophy hunter.
I'm a winner, mate.
Mate, so you wouldn't choose your local lads, the Roar. That's your home team.
No, not a chance.
To be fair, the Roar could do with a defender or two.
Yeah, well, they're struggling at the moment, but yeah, they'll turn the tables eventually.
Favorite A League player.
Once the new coach comes in.
Favorite A League player.
You give me some tough questions to start, aren't you?
What about Taggart?
I don't know, mate.
What about Taggart?
Hey?
He's banging away for your local team. Is he up there on the list?
Not a chance. I haven't really got one. As I said, I've only just started to really start getting back into watching the A-League probably this season. I've steered away from watching it from a while.
Any reason why?
Yeah. I don't think run it right. And it just hasn't really engrossed me to come back to watch it. You know, I still love watching the game, you know, soccer, but just, or football, but just the A-League just hasn't really produced enough quality to draw me back.
Were you a big NSL fan then?
I was, to be honest. Yeah. I love watching the games there. I love watching the passion that was involved and some of those, you know, great clubs that were around in those days. You know, the players from that era were just amazing. And, you know, I grew up, well, didn't grow up watching it, but I, you know, in my later time before I started to play in it, I watched it, a lot of it. And, you know, it was just a more passionate, the players, you know, the pace of the game itself just was more appealing for me.
You're part of that old guard that haven't quite been brought across to the A-League experience then.
Yeah, that's right. I think the game's changed a lot, you know, these days, and a lot of the things that sort of we used to love watching wouldn't be allowed anymore.
Mate, if you're stuck in the old NSL days instead of the A-League, that means we can't ask anything about Netflix, Foxtel, iTunes.
iPhone.
Is that the path we're heading down?
Pretty much, mate. Don't even think about that. I wouldn't know what half of those things are.
Mate, we'll lock in Franich. Considering he's playing at the Roar and he plays right fullback like you, and he's got a trusty right foot, we'll lock in Franich for your favourite player.
And he's a glory man. Oh, so could be playing with him.
Funniest football story or experience?
Funniest.
PG would be good. Keeping a PG would be great.
Yeah, well, that's where it... I had a really good experience with a good friend when I went overseas trialling. Yeah, we had... it was his 21st and we got stuck in Amsterdam. And
what a horrible place to be stuck.
There was a lot of adventures that we got up to in Belgium and Amsterdam. Well, Belgium, we came out of a club late at night and we ended up having breadstick fights before the baker decided to start yelling at us in whatever language, or Flemish or whatever it was, and we ran off. So, yeah, that was some good times.
Do you still have a passport then?
Well, I did get deported from one country.
So. That's amazing. Okay, well, before we ruin Wayne fully, your whole career, mate, we'll move on. One word family and friends would use to best describe you?
Probably passionate.
We'll take that. That's good. We'll lock that in. Your favourite thing you enjoy doing away from football?
I love me football. There's not much away from it, apart from, obviously my family. That's a big one that takes up a lot of my time. And I love playing with my girls and, yeah, having a good time with them, trying to teach them things.
What about fishing, sewing, anything like that?
No, not really.
Okay, mate.
I wish I could sew.
Well, mate, maybe we can send you some stuff over in the mail. I think PKs are very good knitter.
Used to be.
Yes, yeah, used to be. Name one thing.
He can teach us how to do it.
Yeah, he'll look after
Why
you.
Why not?
Name one thing that you do that really annoys your wife.
Probably chewing my nails.
I think that's a pretty typical guy thing.
I'm on board with that one. Yeah, I get in trouble with that one too.
Yeah, at least if you wash your hands beforehand, it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Worst roommate on away trips?
Michael Baird.
Okay. what was Bairdie's, what caused you to say Baird?
He was he's great to get on with, but yeah, he's a unique character.
Okay,
we'll leave it at that.
We might ask him when we see him next.
Yeah, no, we might need to have extended footage for this on the site, on the website.
Yeah,
to be able to hear the full story from Wayno.
Well, we actually got a video recording of a few of the trips away, but yeah, again, they're not really PG, so. And I've got to try and get them developed from the old digital cassette to DVD one
the
of these
VCR.
Days.
So was he part of the breadstick fight?
Was he there at the time? Yeah, I think he was, actually.
Okay. We're starting to get a picture here. Listeners are too. We're starting to hear this. But, mate, it could have been worse. Last week we had Josh Rose on the show, and he was in the car with his wife and kids, so he couldn't say anything. So at least you've got a little bit of freedom today.
Yeah, I've probably got a few stories for Rosie as well, but, yeah, that's for another day.
Okay. And just a couple more questions for you, mate, before we move on to some serious stuff. If you could trade places with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Lionel Messi.
Okay.
That's not a bad trade.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say. I thought you were going to pick someone, you know, maybe closer to home, but you just want to fly all the way over to Barcelona, even without a passport. That's fine.
No, he wants a Spanish Tim Tam.
Well.
And final question, what meal would you cook if you were trying to impress someone? So if you're trying to suck up to your wife or something like that, what would you cook?
Fish dish with a nice salad. My missus loves a really nice salad, and so a nice fish.
A bit of culinary skills there. Look at you.
You must still be in good shape then. I'm saying, yeah, this is a pretty healthy meal.
Yeah, well, yeah, from the times of travelling away and everything, you got to sort of learn to cook and look after yourself a little bit. So, yeah.
That and you can't use the new digital era Uber Eats.
Mate, that kind of counterbalances to the stories we heard about, you know, losing your passports and that, but you have got some skills, so you're not a bad catch, Wayno.
Yeah, sometimes, mate.
So, mate, we'll move into your youth career. So, PK, what do you got for us?
Yeah, no worries. So was there a player you moulded your playing style around growing up, Wayno?
I'd have to say Paolo Maldini of AC Milan in Italy. Look, he was a player that I tried to really mould my game off. The way he read the game was just so impressive. And, you know, as a defender, I looked at him and I looked at other defenders. And I think I never really had the size, the height of a lot of defenders around the world. But, you know, I could read the game and that was something that was one of my biggest attributes. And, yeah, that came from watching him play and watching how he was able to, you know, get into positions before they were even aware, before the ball was there, before the attacker was there. He was always in the right position, and, you know, that was something I really looked at.
I can't think of too many better players to have a look at, though. So good pick there.
Definitely good pick.
Mate, if you want to emulate him too, Wayne, he played well into his 40s at Milan. So you're only at 35, mate. You still got a few years to go.
Halfway through your career.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll make that all, but I'd love to give it a shot.
Mate, we don't mind if you also want to secretly be Italian either. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Was there any particular person who pointed you in the right direction while you were playing your youth football?
Look, I had a lot of good coaches and a lot of good friends that were involved in the game, and they had a lot of influence on my career, you know, especially as a young player. One of my favourite young coaches when I was young was Alan Marley up in Brisbane, and, you know, the way he approached the game was different to your regulation, you've got to be this, you've got to be that. He was sort of open to the game and the freedom that the game can have and the changes that the game can have. And that opened my eyes up to just understanding the game a lot more. And that was, yeah, something for me. I had a lot of friends that were able to help me to go places, to trial places, and I had a few, which I was lucky with.
And so you probably had the coach give you a bit more of an advanced look, and that brought you through to the Young Socceroos, where you represented them at the 2003 World Youth Champions?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, the 2003 Youth World Cup over in the UAE.
And how was that experience?
Oh, that was amazing. Looking back, at the time, I was sort of, it was so big and to be a part of. Look, we were able to beat Brazil in our group stage. Like, even not only just the World Cup, but also the qualifiers and the camps beforehand. And, it was just an amazing experience, really.
And I did see, I think we were 3-2 over Brazil.
Yeah, that's right. We're
2-0 up at half time. And
how does that team talk go?
Yeah, I still remember that one, funnily enough. I don't remember much about games these days. Memory's sort of fading as I get a bit older. But look, the team talk there, we had Ange Postecoglou was the coach, and he came in at half time, and he gave a really, it's sort of stuck with me how he approached us and what he said to us to get us focused for the second half. And he was very calm, and we went out there, and yeah, obviously we scored quite early in the second half, and then Brazil just absolutely bombarded us with everything they had, and we sort of held on.
But that's what your job was, mate, to make sure we locked down the fort and make sure we take away the 3 points. So, mate, lucky we had you there. So can you tell us, what was it like playing against the likes of Fernandinho and Dani Alves, who were in the Brazilian squad?
Oh, again, at the time, like, you weren't to know who was going to go on with their careers. He wasn't. Some of those guys weren't their best players. They were tremendously good and gifted players, but their best player, I think, went on to play in the UEFA Cup, played in Russia a few times, and, you know, I had to mark him, and what a player. So quick, so sharp, and amazing skill.
He told us you were the best right-back he ever played against. That's what he told us.
Yeah, I did have a good game that day.
I reckon you would have given him a couple of kicks if he was that quick.
Well, I actually did. I got him a beauty. I did get a yellow card for
We're so shocked,
out,
mate. So. We're so shocked.
Well, you know what they say, you can't run without legs. So.
Exactly. But even our side was quite strong. I think you play with the likes of, in that squad, Jedinak, Broski, Mackay, Wilkinson, Carl Valeri. I mean, that was a pretty hot side running around in that tournament.
Yeah, we had a great side, and it was just unfortunate we couldn't go further with the tournament. We played the host nation in the next round. I don't know if our mentality wasn't right for it. They basically put everyone behind the ball and scored a really lucky goal late. And
unlike an Asian side.
Yeah, exactly. We were just a bit unlucky, I suppose, and unfortunately we got knocked out. So, yeah, you know, we were sort of already, I suppose, looking ahead to the next group, you know, the next games and the next big club, country, sorry. And unfortunately, yeah, the host did a number on us.
Mate, to be honest, I know you're not up to date with technology, but as soon as I looked at you beat Brazil 3-2 and then lost 1-0 to UAE in the next round, all I could think of was the monkey emoji with the hands over the eyes. Mate, now you've explained what happened, but I just, yeah, like I said, after having such a fantastic result and only giving away two goals to a world-class side like that, to come crashing back against UAE, you know, is something that I think, you know, I'm glad that you pointed out that it probably did take it maybe a little bit too easy, or sometimes you go to those heights and then you got to come back down again, and it's not always the easy thing to do.
No, that's right. Especially, you know, tournament football is just a completely different challenge because, you know, it's only a few days in between and you've got to get yourself up again to that peak performance. And, yeah, unfortunately, we just found the wrong hurdle.
So, I mean, I'm looking at that squad of players, and we saw them move on into NSL and obviously their A-League names as well. Was the World Cup there, the Youth World Cup, a bit like an audition? And is that where you were picked up by Basingstoke?
No, it wasn't so much. I don't think so. I ended up going to Basingstoke once the NSL stopped, and they basically had a year off to start the A-League up with the revamping and everything like that, however long it was. Unfortunately, with the team I was at, the Strikers, that didn't make the cut for the A-League, so the Brisbane Roar did.
Still a travesty. Strikers should be there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But they wanted to obviously have a clean out of every club, start afresh, the good decisions made for the FFA board.
Tongue-in-cheek.
So look, after that, I did a few rounds, and I went over to England to try my luck, as a lot of people do. England's a completely different kettle of fish because England's sort of the main hub. Every single player around the world wants to go there. Yeah, look, I ended up at Basingstoke Town after a few trials at a few other clubs, and, you know, settled there for a little bit. And it was enjoyable. Again, it was a bit lower, the standard, and I probably, again, didn't approach it or have the right attitude for it at the time because the standard wasn't great, the football wasn't great. I still remember, you know, I tried to play football, and the first game, the ball came back to me from the kickoff. I passed the ball to my winger, and the coach yelled at me because I didn't boot the ball up the park. So, you know, it was English football back in those days. So I ended up moving on from there and tried my luck at a few other places. Ended up in Romania, and then back in mighty Sydney, and yeah, from there it went.
And did you, when you were with the Strikers and the league sort of came down to the crunch and the break before the A-League started, were you in talks with the Raw once they were identifying players, or was there anything sort of set up for, especially you younger generation that were coming through and establishing careers, was any path kind of given or any outlook given to you guys, or it was just good luck?
Yeah, pretty much just good luck. You know, I sort of went across to, you know, a couple of trials and that, but, you know, the Roar at the time, who were the old Queensland Lions in the local Brisbane League, they, you know, they had a really solid team and they brought some good players in. So the squad was impacted from there. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. Numbers-wise, I didn't sort of really push myself and I just felt that I could probably get a better gigs going somewhere else. So, yeah.
Mate, I love you being modest, but I can't buy that, mate. Like I said, I've coached you, and not only can you play as a defender, you can play anywhere in the midfield. So if they're telling me now in the A-League there's 20 better right fullbacks than you, I'll eat my hat. Seriously, I'll get me some salt and pepper and I'll have it now, mate. There's no possible way. So just for the listeners, he's being as modest as he can be, because there's no possible way there's probably a handful, let alone 20 guys that could have outplayed you. So how that didn't take you in the A-League, mate, I'm absolutely dumbfounded.
Yeah, these are the things though, aren't they? As a player, you sort of, you get chances and you got to take them. And, you know, some of these players, yeah, they've taken their chance and good on them.
Mate, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, I haven't really watched the A-League. When you've got a guy who's played, represented his country, right, and one of the better players for his generation at that time in the Australian squad, but doesn't watch the game, there's some disconnect and there's something going wrong. So, like I said, there's a lot of work for the new board who've come in to make sure they not only bring the fans back, but also bring in guys who were a big part of the game.
Yeah, look, you know, I think Australian football, I don't know if we've got a, how would you say, like an inferiority problem where we don't want to take this game to be the best. You know, all the problems that are happening in the other games and the other codes right now, this should be the time that football in this country just says we want to be number one. You know, cricket's gone through scandals. Rugby league, there's a scandal nearly every week. AFL, there's scandals. Like, soccer should just say, especially with the way the world's changing, soccer should say, we want to be number one. Let's push everything into it, advertise the absolute shite out of this code, absolutely advertise the national team, the women's sport, women's game, advertise it, be number one at football in this country. And we just don't seem to want to do that. We seem happy just coasting along. And unfortunately, it's not great for the fans, because fans want to be number one. The fans want this game to be big. And
couldn't agree with you more. You've spoken the voice of many people out there, mate. I suppose that makes my next question really easy then. You would be a massive believer in growing the number of teams in the actual A-League and then probably having a second division where we can promote and relegation.
Look, I think growth is absolutely 100%. We need more teams. There's got to be 16, 18 teams. You've got to have, you know, more teams in each state. There's got to be another one in New Zealand, another one in Adelaide. We need the derbies there to get that, you know, the crowd, the rivalry, that passion back in this game. The second division, look, I probably would be against it only because how big Australia is and the costs associated with the second division. I think a good progress through the NPLs, if you really did them right and you made, you know, like conferences sort of thing to make them, would be better. But unfortunately, there's still a gulf there. There's still a massive gap between the NPL and A-League. And, you know, and that's unfortunately the way it is. And hopefully they change it. But the fact is, with the NPL, you're training three nights a week.
Yeah.
The difference between the NPL to the A-League is they train every day. And to do that, to get your body ready, is such a big thing.
Well, we've kind of made that half move, haven't we, where we get the FFA Cup, which gives those NPL sides a little bit of a sniff. So, like you said, if we grow the A-League to 16, 18 teams, then we're a chance of giving those strong NPL sides a good showing in that national competition.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But again, they play at the start of the A-League pre-season. So we need to see them when it's the best of the A-League in their middle of the season and the best of the NPL in the middle of their season, playing off to see if they can really, really compete, not just against a, you know, second-rate team in their pre-season. We want to see the best and make sure these players are actually able to do it, you know, they're prepared to do it. So, yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more there, Wayno. And just wrapping up your career, I mean, if you could change one decision in your career, what would that be?
Oh, look, when I did venture back, and I probably would have loved to try my hand into a few different markets. And unfortunately, I didn't have the contacts for, you know, the Asian markets and a few contacts would have really helped. But I would have loved to have tried that. I would have loved to go into, you know, into some of these Asian countries that are really taking off, and some of the players that are going over there are good quality players, and unfortunately the A-League can't keep them because how much the competition over in those countries is.
Yeah, and we can't afford them. Can't afford them either.
I wouldn't mind a bit of that coin that they're paying over there, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Like, they can't compete.
Mate, you've had a crack at some coaching. How's it going, and are you enjoying being a coach over, say, when you were a player?
Look, I had a good go at coaching. I was a player coach for a couple of clubs and, you know, had some success and had some failures. I actually enjoy coaching. I enjoy working with players and trying to improve them. That's a big thing for me, is trying to help other players to improve, to play at their best week in, week out. And I've sort of played at that standard, so now I want to, you know, help them. But unfortunately, the FFA and Football Queensland up there sort of change the line every couple of years, where, you know, promotion relegation just goes off the board. The year I was fortunate enough to coach a winning side up there, we didn't get promoted into the top league, but a team that came second did. So it's,
yeah, the craziness
sort
of it. Yep.
Yeah, the frustration sort of have really borne through, and not coaching this year, and last year I didn't coach. I just went back to playing. I just felt like, well, you know, I just want to have, you know, a bit of fun and play for a couple of years, and then I'll start again and go through the process of all the
fun of
certificates and that sort of bollocks to be able to coach at a good level again. So,
mate, you've got a great football brain. So look, my advice to you would be stay in it, but I'm pretty sure too you didn't receive a Christmas card from the FFA. Is that safe to say?
I'd love one, mate.
I tell you what, you've had a few good coaches in your time, both in Ange and Cozzy, and Gio gave in there, so I suppose you could have learnt from him. How was Gio as a coach?
Gio was great, absolutely.
Oh, come on, you've been honest still, then, if you be honest still.
Look, that was seriously one of the best times I've had. I was scoring goals. He still reminds me of goals I scored.
Mate, not even just scoring them.
I'm a defender.
So you were scoring goals, and then you were clapping yourself in the stands as well. That's one of the best celebrations I've seen.
Yeah, well, that's how much fun I was having, you know. It changed my perspective on the game too, because I was always a defender, so playing a little bit higher up the park and being able to do it and having fun doing it, it sort of brought me back a bit of happiness into the game. So
you made me a worse player.
I've got to thank you for that.
You made me a worse player because I just stood there watching you. I forgot to run.
Yeah, but you didn't have to, and that's probably all you could do anyway. So
that was it.
Mate, I love that you're super kind to me, and that's why I consider you a good mate. But, mate, look, is there any hope? I think there's still a hope for me, because the two last Socceroos coaches have both been coached by you, so maybe you're the lucky charm. Is there any chance you think I could maybe get a gig with the national team?
Look, mate.
We'll let you speak to the FFA on his behalf.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got a lot of contacts
the FFA
there.
Get on to him.
Yeah, mate, you could either speak to the FFA or the Football Queensland or the Department of Immigration. One of them will help you out.
Nah, look, I think if you wanted to, mate, you've got it there, but you've got to sit through all the boring stuff of the coaching courses and all that sort of that they want you to do these days. But anyway,
no, mate, I think I've had my day. I'd much rather be here with the boys, you know, interviewing players that can actually play, than running around pretending I can coach.
And just the final question for tonight, Wayne, I really appreciate your time. What advice would you give to the young players who are trying to make it in the game?
Look, the big one for me is ask questions. You know, really find out, especially if you're young and you're coming through and you're not making, you know, the first team, or you're not, you know, you're on the edge, or you've had a few goes. And the biggest problem I've seen is people on the outside that they just support the game or whatever it may be, or family, they will sugarcoat a lot of stuff and they say, you know, this. And a lot of young players will end up just switching clubs because they're not getting a game. You've got to ask questions. You've got to speak to the coach and find out how to get there and what you need to do and how to improve your game, and really stick it out, and you'll be a better player if you do it. You know, you need to know what's going on. As I said, a lot won't even ask the question. And, you know, that's a big flaw in the game. The players of today is that they just see an easier option and they walk away. You know, you stick it out, show some ticker, and you'll be a better player in the long run.
Mate, I think that just sums it up. You must stay in the game. That's a no-brainer. I think the three of us here are nodding, you must stay in the game. Mate, you add too much to the game. So, look, thank you very much for being on the show. I've not only had the great pleasure of coaching you, mate, but now I can add interviewing you to that list. I will catch you this next in a couple of weeks' time at the Maso Cup in Canberra. So make sure you're ready to carry me. I hope your back's feeling strong.
And I can't wait, mate.
Mate, and we'll also try and pop up to Queensland and take you to a couple of Raw games so we can turn your opinion around to the A-League.
I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'll be your guest any day.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for being on the show, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne.
See you, Wayne.
All right, thanks, guys.
That was a great interview with Wayne. Very honest in his approach, apart from when he rated Gio as a coach. That surprised us all. But we'll take a minute and review that one and come back to you with the VAR.
Welcome to the Football Revolution, hosted by Gio, Jules and PK.
Welcome back to the Football Revolution. We're into the final segment of the evening, which is our VAR segment. I'm looking forward to tonight's topic. Julesy, what are we going to be covering off tonight?
Look, I'm a bit upset with the current salary capping at the moment. It's meant to create an even league. And what are we looking at halfway through the season? 30-point gap between first to last.
Is that kneecapping?
It feels like
it is a kneecapping. Yeah. The old school just straight knees.
It's only 10 teams in the comp and we're 30 points adrift. So you tell me, salary cap working? I think not.
Yeah, amazing.
And it's not like as if we've been, the league's in its infancy, 5 years old. You know, the league's now in its 13th or 14th season.
We've been complaining about the salary cap. Everyone's been saying it. How long do we have to put up with it? We've got situations now where we're halfway through the season, and let's be fair, I know Mike Bolvie's come out with Central Coast this week saying we're about to make a charge up the ladder. Well, you only got to go up 4 places and you make semis and you think it's a successful year, but your season's over. It's, you know, and you can't do anything about it. We can't. There's no transfers. There's no dollars in there. How do you change your year to make it any better?
Yeah, and the whole, you know, what's the whole purpose of a salary cap? The whole purpose of a salary cap is to have an even competition, which allows, on face value, every team an equal opportunity to win, to be successful.
Hasn't been even for a long time.
I hate to tell you this, but just because you have a salary cap right doesn't mean it evens up the league. You also got to have ability with who you sign. Look at Victory, look at Sydney FC. They buy players, they buy the right players that fit. Mariners have gone and bought players, and honestly, there's probably half a dozen players there I don't think would be the best player in this room.
So we could build a side that would compete against them out of NPL players.
You look at it, mate. Troy Donascus, straight off the top of the bat. Mitch Marlier, who was amazing at Perth Glory when he was an injury replacement, who's now back in NPL. So there is players around. I put this down simply to the fact that Mike Mulvey and that were more interested in the Usain Bolt circus than making sure you go and search the leagues to make sure you get good players. Because genuinely, they've got some players there who aren't up to NPL.
So you might open a can of worms. Is it actually poor salary cap issues, or is it poor management in terms of how they're recruiting players?
I think it's a both. I think once again it's the FFA trying to control the whole league. You know, if you start to open it up, then they see that they might lose control and you'll have the super club and this and that. But guess what? Those clubs breed their success. At the moment, I look at the bottom three. Wanderers, struggling massive, can't find anything going on. And they're frustrated with their own players. Brisbane Roar, who knows what's going on. Central Coast Mariners, they can't go out and try and change their season and make a really smart, really good buy. A, no one wants to come there. And B, they've got no funds. The salary cap is being hit. You can't sell a player to create some funds. I don't understand.
You've got no funds.
And then you have Melbourne City, who has put Fornaroli in prison.
Yeah.
And we've lost the man of the league.
But how does that... exactly right. So you're going to go now to a player who, whether he knows about the league or not, and you're going to say, yeah, look, we'd love you to come down there. And then they hear about the Fornaroli and realise that you can sit out for 6 weeks in the grandstand waving because the coach doesn't like you.
When you hit transfer season and you think, I can get a release,
but he doesn't
can't
like
do anything.
Happen. No, but yeah. He doesn't like you, that's fine. Let's put him onto some sort of transfer window. Let's put him somewhere where you set a price, they come in, whichever clubs offer, 4 clubs offer a price, Fornaroli can then decide who he wants. So at the moment, believe it or not, if they're saying his issue was, okay, attitude, but also skin folds, let me tell you just quietly, I'm not the world's best trainer, but sitting on the sidelines for 6 or 8 weeks is not going to help you lose more weight.
I don't think his skin folds were stopping all those goals he was banging in for him.
Yeah, and, look, and at some great point, goals this year.
You keep saying that the league, the FFA league, has their war chest
league
or their
of
dollars
Nations.
Or whatever, and they have players who sit outside the league and their marquee status. Yep. Well, when your marquee for the competition is not being played, at what point do you step in and start to go, we're not telling you how to run it, but yes, we are, because we control everything anyway.
So
we need to start doing something.
On the bottom feeders, right, who haven't won a game yet, the Mariners, how do you get, and I don't know the answer to this, so this is me just asking the question, how do you have someone like Mike Phelan, who is an amazing football mind, right, and he knows how to, he was there under Alex Ferguson, he came into the club, and before he's been able to actually do anything with the club, he's now back on United's bench again. So how do we let him go?
You can only assume his hands were tied, and they were trying to do things maybe smartly with dollars or this and that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, salary capping, dollars spent, turning the turnstile of players, or just the recycling of, guess what, we've got a jersey, it's size large, it fits you, you can have this club. I mean, we've just seen Mitch Nichols released from Wellington Phoenix. I think that makes 5 out of the 10 A-League clubs he's got. I mean, he's got more jerseys than most of the fans that would support a side. So I don't know what you can do to be changed that. We're not – if you're going to have a salary cap, then have a different setup. Why have a transfer season in the middle of it unless it's to bring in young Australian race-based players?
Well, I mean, I was going to say, do we look at other successful codes in Australia and globally that have a system like a trade system, you know, where basically if you finish the bottom of the season, basically you get an opportunity to, from a pool of players in our league, we're going to have a Division 2. Where do we, is it the NPL? I don't know.
Not everything that sparkles is gold, right? So when you're looking at big players, that's great. You've got to have some of those in your squad. But there's some really great players around, or potentially some really good young players around. How often do you see now, right? Look at Martin Boyle and these guys now who they're talking about. You know, this is the Socceroos' next great thing. Didn't come through the A-League, did he?
No,
disappeared.
We hadn't heard of him. His first trip to Australia was actually to play for us.
Yeah, and until he gets on the internet, or he gets on the TV and says, oh, through my parents, you know, I got over here. I've never actually been interested. The A-League was never interested in me until they realise now that I'm playing professionally over in this country or this country. And they go, wow, how did that one slip through the crack? Oh, he was about the 50th guy that slipped through the crack in the last 5 years, right? But how we keep losing these guys? So there has to be more money spent on making sure we have people in the clubs who understand talent, right? Because Mariners didn't. They didn't understand the very easy concept. Whatever Victory are doing, whatever Sydney are doing, well, you need to start to work out what they're doing, because they're doing it right and continuously. They're bringing in right players. They've got good juniors who are going off to clubs and making impact at other clubs as well. So whatever they're doing, and it's not just one coach, because a coach moves on and they're still producing guys, even after Ange left, even after Arnie's left, there's still players that they're bringing
Correct.
In.
But we've just gone and signed on to say we've approved two new clubs who did the circus tricks and danced through all the hoops and said, congratulations, here's your set of handcuffs, build your squad on a salary cap.
And it'll be
interesting. It's not even like some of the other sports that gave them an additional funds to help initiate and establish. Yep. Even if those clubs said, we can come in, we got dollars, we can make it big, they can't even hit with a bang. They just go, here's your handcuffs, good luck to you. I hope it all goes.
It'll be interesting to see as well, you know, what recycling – you know, the trash can
go through
to get the players.
No, but you also get 2 years when you first come in, right, where they do all the nice things for you. So, for example, same as Wanderers and same as the new
team.
You get
the extra overseas player.
No, but they'll also let you pick what they'll let the fans and that have an input in what a uniform looks like, what your team name is and everything, right? And then pretty much once you've been around and you put some stuff into a league, they start saying, well, you know what? Your fans are too passionate. We don't want you. You can have this against you.
Put this straight jacket on.
You can have a salary cap. You can have this. So basically all they do is they bring you in, right? And all of a sudden once they get you in, then they go, too bad, mate. It was just a hoax.
Yeah.
Right? This is now, a pyramid scheme.
This is the argument that could keep going on for time, but I want to steal a little bit of time because we had great news come out of this week. I believe the Ninkovich family welcomed a little baby boy. So look out, football world, in the next 18 to 20 years.
Definitely.
A mini Nink is coming through. So very, very big wishes to go out to that family.
I might
family.
Be cynical, but maybe this might take the edge off a Ninka at Sydney at the moment, because everyone knows like what it's like when you have a newborn, right? You don't get much sleep. And
he might be just loving to get out of the house and on the field.
Well, you never know, right? So this might have the reverse effect. So there might be some clubs out there in the A-League that are thanking them, especially if Ninka and Sydney come off the boil. That might be what's just done the trick.
And your new Hogba.
My Paul Hogba.
Your award. Paul Hogba award?
Yeah, look, I haven't got a player this week. I've got a team, and that team that gets the award this week is the Newcastle Jets. Simply, you've had 14 goals scored in 13 games, second worst only other than the team we've been talking about for the last 5 minutes who haven't won a game yet this year. And you've got Jugarkovic and Radenten both shooting from outside the box. One hit it into someone's backside. The other guy looked like he was trying to pitch the ball into the green. He chipped underneath it.
He went to the MCG, I think.
No, he actually strike the ball, right? If you want to hit from
he
outside
was
the box,
from
you
somewhere
strike
around.
Through the ball. You don't chip underneath it like you're trying to end up on the seventh green.
Pitching wedge.
Yeah, so for me, definitely the
for a side that has the big Roy OD in there, and we're watching these guys start to chip balls. It's frustrating to watch. Yep.
When you're only scoring a goal a game, right, your shooting's not great anyway, so why would you try and have a shot from long range?
Exactly. All right, any final thoughts?
Great to have you back, PK. Julesy, again, as usual, thanks for being such a great ref and for everything you bring to the show.
No worries.
You made me a loss.
And if you want to get more information, you can download the FNR app or visit the website, footballnationradio.com, and you can either continue listening to us live or catch up on what you might have missed.
Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
See you guys.
See you guys.